Good evening, Orient Outlook Podcast. Congratulations on episode 350. I remember when you guys were young wee lads doing something around 100, I think. So seems like I've seen you guys or known you guys forever now. It's been a great run, and again, congratulations on everything, and up the O's.
Welcome to the Orient Outlook Podcast, sponsored by Carol Langley Florists, with myself, Steve Nussbaum, and as always, I'm joined by my good friend, my South Stand chum, the Bid Legende, the one and only, the Daddy-O, the beautiful Mr. Paul Levy.
Thank you very much indeed. Hello everybody, and welcome back to this monumental moment for us as we now record episode number 350. So thanks to everyone who tuned into last week's show, and indeed for any of our shows over the last 10 years that we've been doing this for. We've got a number of messages from well-known people from the Orient community, so thank you to those that have provided those messages, and we just heard from Kent. Thank you, Kent. Certainly a lot more grey hairs and less hair on top since we started recording this. So I think without further ado, we've got just one game this week, obviously the Wigan game. A bit of news from the week that was, in case you missed anything. So I think without further ado, let's just crack on. And as always, we start with a word from our podcast sponsor. And in this case, we've got a message from him.
Certainly have.
Evening, guys. Hope you're well. Just wanted to wish you congratulations on your 350th episode. Can't believe it's 350 already. Just unbelievable how quickly that time's gone. And where the club was then to where it is now, back in League One, where we belong. It's just been unbelievable. You've kept the fans informed. We've had great interviews with people inside the club, players, staff, other fans. Really helped to keep the club connected and the fans connected with the players and the staff. And the hierarchy of the club has been absolutely brilliant. You always get great viewing figures when you have someone big on the podcast. It goes through the roof. It's great. And I think the fans really love interacting with it as well, with all the tweets. So massive hats off to you all. As you know, it's a great pleasure for us to sponsor the podcast the last couple of years. Hopefully we can carry on. Really look forward to it if we can. We'll talk about that later on, maybe at some point. Just a quick one for the fans. Say thanks so much for supporting us for Mother's Day. Obviously, we've been really busy this week. It's our busiest week of the year. We had loads of supporters ringing up, coming in the shop. Jaden Sweeney came in the shop today. So it's working really well, and we absolutely love it. Great connection for us with you, for yourselves, and to the fans and the club as well. So once again, hats off to you. Enjoy the episode, and I look forward to seeing you on Tuesday, hopefully.
Oh, thank you, John. So that was John from Carol Langley Florists, who hopefully you all know by now. They're based in Chingford and have served the borough of Waltham Forest and the surrounding area for over the last 70 years. They've got a fantastic team there, can do anything for you, from bespoke wedding events, family funeral tributes, birthdays, anniversaries. Like John said, they were very busy this week with Mother's Day, so thank you to everyone who placed an order with them and mentioned they were an Orient fan. From what I hear, from what John was saying, very busy with Orient fans. And Jaden Sweeney back
regular
in the shop again to claim his 15% off as an Orient player and member of staff, as can you, who are Orient fans. So that could be a huge saving on flowering costs. So if you want to get in touch, you can call the shop on 0208 529 4130. You can go and visit their website. It's lovely, www.carollangley.co.uk. Or you can find the team on social media. You can find them on Instagram at Carol Langley Florists. You can find them on Twitter at Carol Langley E4. You can find the team on Facebook at Carol Langley Florists. Now, John has been a proud sponsor of the podcast. We do have other sponsorship opportunities available, already looking now to next season, like John said, potentially. We've got a bit more around sponsorship a bit later on in this very podcast, but very pleased to be working with John and his fantastic team. A great partnership and glad to hear business is going so well there.
Absolutely. We are proud to have you on board with us. So let's move on then to our friends over at the Supporters Club. Just the one trip to tell you about, and that's Stevenage next week, Saturday the 16th of March. That's a 3 o'clock kickoff. There's a one-off fare for this one. It's £25 and kids are £13. Coaches will be departing at the slightly later than usual time of midday because it's not that far. Obviously, that price does not include the match day ticket. You'll need to get that separately. You can book for that trip or any of the remaining few trips that are left this season. I think there's only 9 fixtures left if my maths is good. You can go into the Supporters Club, you can book it on a match day, or you can call Malcolm on the travel line, which is 07507 539 579.
Lovely stuff. Just one piece of AOB this week, and we say a massive congratulations to listener of the podcast, Ellen Kay, who can be found on Twitter at Ellen Isabella. She got engaged earlier in the week from us at Orient Outlook Podcast Towers. Massive congratulations to you, your fiance, and amazing stuff.
And dad and all the family, yeah. Yes. Absolutely. Les, congratulations to you.
Of course. Les OK52. Yes, congratulations to the family. Absolutely.
So let's move on then to the week that was quiet day at the club. Nothing to report.
Nothing to report. We're getting a call from somewhere in the States. There's a message coming in. So ladies and gentlemen, very proud to bring you a message from O's chairman, Mr. Nigel Travis.
Hi, this is Nigel from Los Angeles, and it's Oscar night. No, I'm not here for the Oscars. I'm actually doing a college tour, but it's a good theme to link up with the Orient Outlook podcast, who are celebrating 350 editions. So congratulations, guys. I haven't yet given up on promotion. This is a big week coming up. But anyway, up the O's.
Love that. Thank you, Nigel. Really appreciate that and hope your tour goes well. But yeah, no, really appreciate it. So it is, it might not seem much to others, but the blood, sweat and tears that we've put into this over 399 when you include, we were counting it up the other day, weren't we? It was 399 when you include all the interviews and the sideshows, but 350 episodes. So thank you very much, Nigel. Wish you all the best as well. To Huey Tuesday then, as we move on, the 5th of March, double birthday celebration in the Orient camp as we say happy birthday to Jordan Graham, who turned 29. We wish you a continued and speedy recovery. And also to our favourite Scotsman, Theo Archibald, who turned 26 on Tuesday as well. Now, it's also a bit more of an update for this birthday boy. Theo posted an update on his situation, having had an operation, a birthday operation, probably not many people give them the gift of a new ACL, but he's had one. And he's got that as he picked it up against Port Vale last month, as you'll know. And he said in that Instagram post...
He did. He said, well, happy birthday. I was going to try to do a Scottish accent, but no. Doesn't feel like that's the right thing to do at all.
He might not like that.
No, absolutely. He says, happy birthday to me. A new cruciate ligament is undoubtedly one of the weirder birthday presents I've been given in my 26 years on this earth. But in the long run, probably the most important of them all. As some of you know, this operation has been long overdue, and I'm really pleased to say the surgery was a success. It's a long journey back, but the grind starts now. Thank you everyone for the messages of love and support. They mean a great deal. Love you all. So great to hear that Theo's operation went well.
I mean, exactly.
He looks gazonked in the photo, as you would imagine.
He's just come round and bless
him. Yeah, so.
But fair play. Good luck to you, and we wish you a speedy recovery as well.
On his birthday as
on
well.
On his birthday.
All days he could
ever forget that, will he?
Amazing.
Won't ever forget that.
So yeah, like Paul said, wish him the best. Also on Tuesday, the club announced our fixture against Exeter City, which was scheduled to take place on Saturday the 23rd of March, has been postponed due to international call-ups for both sides with a new date to be arranged. So don't rock up to Brisbane Road on the 23rd because no one else is going to be there. If you can get there, even on the train, the way the Central Line's been recently, then good luck to you. But yeah, no game. Date to be revealed. So,
yeah.
Bit of a jar, I think there's another call coming
there
in from
is.
The ballroom.
Absolutely. This time it is our CEO, the esteemed Mr. Mark Devlin. So, Mark, thanks very much for this. And here's what Mark had to say.
Hi, lads. Richie Wellens here.
Oh, that's the wrong one. Sorry about that.
To Paul, Steve, and everyone connected with the Orient Outlook podcast, many, many congratulations on achieving 350 episodes. Thank you for all your support of the club and the Orient over the years and for helping us to get our message out to the supporters. You do a fantastic job. here's to the next 350 episodes. Thanks again, guys.
Love that.
Brilliant stuff. Thanks to Mark, who was a guest recently on the podcast. Very insightful. I think we say it every week. There's not many CEOs or chairmen or vice chairmen or managers or assistant managers going and doing full feature-length episodes on fan-led media. So we can only commend everyone who's sent us a message or been a guest on the podcast, not only this season, but I guess throughout the 350 episodes so far. So a massive thank you to Mark. That doesn't go unnoticed. So moving on into Wednesday, the 6th of March, congratulations to Super Richie Wellens, who was deservedly nominated for League One Manager of the Month for February. More to follow on that a bit later on.
Yeah, I think that is announced in a week or two, isn't it?
Oh, no, it's been announced.
Oh, it's been announced, yeah. Right, okay.
He didn't win.
We don't care then. Move on. Thursday, the 7th of March, the FA announced that Richie has been given a fine, but thankfully no touchline ban for his sending off against Oxford United recently. In a short statement that read, Richie Wellens has been fined £2,400 for misconduct that took place during Leighton Orient's game against Oxford United in the EFL League One on Saturday, the 24th of February.
Yeah, it went on to say the manager admitted that he acted improperly in the 85th minute, which led to his dismissal, and an independent regulatory commission imposed his fine during a subsequent hearing. So short and sweet from the FA. I guess first of all, what an absolute result. There was no touchline ban. I was thinking he'd get a 3 or 4 game, considering it's his first sending off of the season. A fine, a slap on the wrist, don't do it again, Mr. Wellens, from the FA, and that was it. So got away with that one, but I was pleasantly surprised with what could have happened.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's had a right touch there. I think you're right. It just means he's got to be on beans on toast for that little bit longer, as I think he mentioned recently. Also on Thursday, it was announced that there's the formation of another new fan group. This one's called Saltire Orient, and they are now the official Scottish supporters group, and they are now proud sponsors of our Prediction League, which we're delighted to have Ben and Seb on. So welcome aboard to both of you, and congratulations for setting up a great new fan group.
Yeah,
popping up all the time. It's great, these little fan groups that we've got going on.
Worldwide.
Absolutely.
Orient are massive. So obviously Boatsy, Ben, is a well-esteemed follower of the podcast.
Been here
since the first episode, as well as Seb. So yeah. More than delighted to have them on board. So Friday the 8th of March, in happy International Women's Day. Great to see. My girls went to school in their football tops, both in England tops. My amazing Orient tops are far too big for them, but great to see all the female interest in football and that developing, and long may that continue.
Indeed. Agree. Happy heavenly birthday to the one and only Laurie Cunningham. I think he turned 68 on Friday as well.
Absolutely. All right, let's move on in to Super Richie Wellens Saturday. That might be a new thing for us, Super Richie Wellens Saturday. But rolls off the tongue. Which was the 9th of March, as it marked the 2-year anniversary of Richie Wellens' managerial appointment at the O's. So obviously no Orient podcast is complete without a message from Super Richie. We've got one for you, and here is the message from Super Richie Wellens.
Hi lads, Richie Wellens here. Just want to say a big congratulations on your 350th episode of your podcast. Tremendous show, keep it up.
Thank you, Richie. And as well as Richie's 2-year anniversary, obviously the same could be said for Paul Terry, another friend of the podcast. So here is a message from Paul Terry.
Just want to say congratulations to you all. You're an Outlook podcast on reaching 350 episodes. It's been a pleasure to be part of it, and I enjoy listening. Look forward to being on the show again soon. Good luck, guys, and well done.
Nice one, Paul. That's very nice. Yeah, you're welcome on any time. We'll have to speak to George and get that set up. That'd be great to have you back on. And also thanks to Richie. Always a pleasure to hear from you as well.
Just to think that 2 years ago, I mean, so much has happened, and I think Richie deserves an awful lot of credit, as he will get, but obviously took over a team struggling at the wrong end of League Two. And as we sit here, challenging at the right end of League One, and some fans still not happy, which blows my mind. But we've obviously sat in that or an out of podcast towers in much worse circumstances than what we are now. And obviously we'll talk about where we are on the league table a bit later on, but incredible job by not only Richie but his staff and the team in that 2 years. So long may that continue. An amazing 2 years for Richie Wellens.
Indeed. And thanks to Paul as well, because you know they were a bit of a double act there as well. So let's move on then. The Young O's were in action. They were away at Oxford, and they took the lead in the 21st minute As the keeper fumbled a low cross from Charlie Pegram, the ball came to Al Saadi, who drilled it into the net, and the O's ended up going in 1-0 up at the break.
They certainly did. The second half was a bit mental. Oxford equalised in the 52nd minute, but we went 2-1 ahead in the 70th minute. Thomas Akastidis linked up with Uko before finishing well. He made it 2-1. However, Oxford equalised from the penalty spot in the 84th minute to make it 2-2. And then unbelievably, they took the lead to go 3-2 up in the 90th minute. And we're sitting there going, this is done and dusted. Yeah.
But not to be, because in the 97th minute, the O's made it 3-3 as Phil Chinedu smacked a powerful shot across goal. That's a new name for me, so glad to hear of that. It rebounded off the crossbar into the feet of Charlie Pegram, and he made no mistake. The match finished soon after that. So well done to the young O's from going ahead, going behind, and then ended up snatching a draw.
Well done. Sounds like an incredible game. Had some amazing games recently.
Yeah.
The young O's. They've
done very well.
But as we all know, the main event was the trip to Wigan Athletic. We ran a Twitter poll before the games to find out how you thought the O's would get on in this one. We had 182 votes, and you voted as follows, with 21% of you thinking the O's would lose, a larger 32% of you thinking the O's would draw, with a majority, 47% of you thinking the O's would get the win. As always, thanks to everyone who voted in that Twitter poll.
Indeed, and continue to. Thank you very much indeed. The team was announced at 2 o'clock with Sol Brin in goal. Ethan Galbraith was right back. Omar Beckles, Brandon Cooper and Tom James completed the back four. Idris Elmazouni, Darren Prattley were the two sitting midfielders, with Shaq Ford, Max Sanders and Ollie O'Neill as the three behind Ruel Sotiriou. The subs for this one: Howes, Sweeney, Hunt, Brown, Edwards, Adu Ajayi and Joe Piggott.
Yeah, that meant there were two changes for the O's to the team who lost home to Bristol Rovers. Darren Prattley came in. He replaced Jordan Brown, who dropped to the bench. And Max Sanders came in for George Moncur, who wasn't in the squad. So we saw that, Mr. Levy, 2 p.m.
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
Surprised that Moncur wasn't even in the squad. But that said, as you think about it, he came off a couple of times recently. So there's probably nothing to read into that, other than the fact that he's probably just got a bit of a knock, or I think he had a chest
illness.
Yeah. And Brown benched as well, didn't start. That was a big surprise for me to see Prattley in over Jordan. I looked at the bench and thought, it's not that strong at the moment, you know. When you look at Brown being on the bench instead of Prattley, and you look at Sanders is now starting, it's, you know, good for Max. I think he probably deserves it, but it's just looking a bit weak.
Yeah, I think like most people, when you saw Jordan Brown on the bench, kind of raised an eyebrow or two. Be a big miss. Couldn't work out if that was tactical or not, what thinking was behind that at the time. It's also a shame to see Moncur missing. I think, again, it looked like he was going to play due to him being the player who was interviewed by the club post-match, and he seemed all right and quite bubbly in that, and then find out he misses out through illness. But Sanders done well last week against Bristol Rovers when he came on. Deserves his opportunity. It's an opportunity for him. I thought we might see a little surprise turn up on the bench for this one, I must say.
Who been a while,
I thought Adji might appear.
Yeah.
I thought they might throw in a little cheeky substitute, not to be. But yeah, I mean, you look at it, but you go, there's not really anyone else in the squad. You look at it, you go, right, who do you think would be on that bench who isn't? Maybe Charlie Pegram, potentially, although we know he played for the youth team, probably played 90 minutes for the youth team at Oxford United, which would do more good than not getting onto the pitch. So you look at it and you go, well, we haven't got any other centre-backs. Brown on the bench, but there's no other central midfielders missing out, and there's no other attackers really missing out due to the injury crisis. Mm. So if you look at it, you go, unless you're going to promote a youth team player, which they could do, to be fair, I mean, that's as good as what it's going to get.
Yeah, I think also he's probably got one eye on Tuesday and one eye on next Saturday as well.
Yeah.
So that's probably in contention there. And we haven't exactly got a great squad group in terms of number of available people that he can rotate, so it's kind of little bits and pieces here and there. D. Rolf Doyle said Brown must be injured or something, because there's no way Prattley would start ahead of him. Should start ahead of him in any world.
Yeah, Rob JB 1974. It's a big call regarding Brown. He gives so much energy to that midfield.
Yeah, Paul Rerum said, not sure what to make of the lineup. Wigan play neat and tidy football, but not in your face football, which would to me suit Brown. So I don't understand why he's not in the first 11. Got to play your best team if you still got a shout of the playoffs.
JME Ray 72 said, I'm never as confident when Brown isn't in the starting lineup. He protects the back four.
Len Chin Chin 1 said, going to be difficult for a win against Wigan. The Latics have a large squad, efficient and dangerous in midfield, with Matt Smith and John Smith up front, and up front, Wyke Humphreys, and of course, the former Orient player, Charlie Kelman, will need to be on the ball, ready for chances. Sorry, something just popped up on my screen there. Clinical moves and play a tight defence.
All right, so let's go with this one. The match kicked off with the O's visiting the DW Stadium for the first time, looking for their first win at Wigan in 34 years. Early danger from the hosts in this one is Callum McManaman. Remember him?
From the Premier League.
Raced down the right after a lovely touch past his man. He drew in a low cross, which Josh McGuinness couldn't meet.
Yeah, Jordan Jones beat a number of players, a number of Orient players down the left-hand side. Our right drove towards goal. He found half a yard to shoot from the edge of the area, but he ended up firing wide.
He certainly did. The O's started to come back into it, had a few efforts as Max Sanders had a shot blocked, and then Shaq Ford had an effort deflected wide in the 10th minute.
Yeah, a minute later, Shaq Ford was booked for stopping a quick free kick from Jones.
Yeah, in the 14th minute, quick free kick. So Dan Prattley getting on the right, he put in a low cross, pinged around the box, came to Brandon Cooper at the far post, who shot went wide of the goal.
Yeah, 26 minutes now, we were denied a corner after a shot from Darren Prattley was deflected wide. 2 minutes later, Ethan Galbraith pricked up booking as he fouled Jones.
Yeah, I mean, that was a decent effort there from Prattley, just wide, to be fair.
Yeah.
And Ethan Galbraith, who we're going to talk about in about 30 seconds, that first booking, again, no complaints from me. That was a definite yellow card, took his man out. I mean, Jones, we'll talk about Jones quite a lot. Jones is a tasty player. Never heard of him before, really, to be honest. But everything seemed to be going through Jones. So Galbraith was going to be in for a very busy afternoon. Mm-hmm. So fast forward into the 36th minute, and Charlie Hughes looped a header towards the far post from a Jordan Jones corner. Ethan Galbraith had to head the ball off the line, and Solbrun was rooted to the spot. Well played to Ethan there for reading that.
Good cut, yeah, he's read that well. 38 minutes on the clock then, and Tom James put in a ball from the left, which forced Sam Tickle to backtrack and claim at full stretch. That was a sort of one of those cross-come shot type efforts.
I don't know what he was trying there, but yeah, almost caught the keeper out, but Tickle had it covered. In the 40th minute, massive chance for Wigan. McManaman played in Josh McGuinness, but he missed the target from close range. Omar Beckles did well to put him under pressure, I think it's safe to say there. McGuinness should have scored. I thought Beckles done really well, actually, not to give away a penalty. And to put him off, well played there, Mr. Beckles.
Indeed. 2 minutes later, and game-changing moment, as a long crossfield ball wasn't controlled by Ethan Galbraith. It wasn't controlled properly. He ended up overreaching with a high boot. He picked up a second yellow card for his efforts. And despite a few Wigan protests towards the referee saying, please don't send him off, I'm fine, which I take absolute plaudits to them for doing that. But unfortunately, the referee wasn't interested, and he gave Ethan Galbraith his second yellow card, a red card, his second of the season, and his marching orders off for an early shower.
Two yellows equals a red. It was a yellow. No, I didn't make the connection there, but Jones knows Galbraith, their international teammates.
Oh, really?
So I think that probably plays a massive part in the thinking there. But look, it's two yellows. You can't do that when you're on a yellow.
Yeah, yeah.
Whether it's in the first minute or the 38th minute or the 90th minute, ref's always going to give you a yellow for that. High boot, unfortunately.
It was very high, and it was dangerous. I've got no complaints about that either.
Unfortunate.
Yeah, that's his second red of the season. Fleetwood at home at the end of September was the other one, so just a shame. He's just miscontrolled it, tried to recover with a high boot, and yeah, the player wasn't injured or wasn't in his head, so, but it's dangerous play. But then you've seen them not be booked. And I think that's the frustration.
Oh, I've never seen anyone not be booked for a boot that high.
Oh, really?
That boot is, that's a high boot. He's unlucky, because it's an honest attempt, but like I said, head's in the way of it.
Yeah.
I guess the big worry now is obviously Ethan Galbraith is suspended for next game or maybe two.
Yeah.
So does he rejig?
It goes with Hunt and Tom James, doesn't he?
You would imagine.
Or Sweeney and James, yeah.
You would imagine so.
You'd imagine it would be Hunt, because Sweeney's not even really getting much.
Jordan
much
Brown action. Right back, keep Sanders, Moncur. He's got various options. Sometimes you think the obvious choices aren't the ones that sometimes they make. So it would be interesting to see who pops up at right back.
Yep.
Cool, that's Tuesday.
Do your fan hub prediction. Yeah. Good day.
But unfortunately, I say Galbraith's had a really good spell at right back, and now finds himself out of the team, but unfortunately, although deserved. All right, let's pick it up then. First sub then, followed that just before half time for the O's, as Rob Hunt replaced Ollie O'Neill.
Yeah, I thought it was a bit, on the face of it, I thought it was a bit of an odd substitution to make there and then. Why not wait until half time, and also obviously Shaq Ford is on a yellow card, so maybe Ollie O'Neill is injured or something. But it seems a bit odd that he's not played much. You know, he's not played a lot of football, or maybe that is the problem. He's just not played a lot, and his fitness isn't quite where it needs to be.
I think Richie said he was in his pre-match said that he bought Ollie off previously because he was fatigued, obviously from playing no football to playing mostly twice in a week at men's football,
yeah,
and doing mostly 90 minutes. So,
and not being a, you know, a footballer of any description, you just don't realise how much effort goes into it. So you think, oh come on, you're only playing football, you're only running like 5k or 10k or whatever it is, but obviously it puts a lot of pressure through the body.
It certainly does. Alright, 2 minutes of additional time played, referee blew the half time whistle with the teams going in goalless at the break. Not bad attendance for this one. 10,000,
right.
352, 648 away fans making the journey. Pretty decent.
Yeah, pretty decent indeed. Theo the Wyvern said, down to 10 men, but excellent sportsmanship from the Latics. Jones argues against the decision and consoled Galbraith as he walked off.
Wichy Jay Bourne said, surprise, O'Neill has come off with 10 men. You need the pace up top to create and run at them. We can't spend a whole half just defending, as our counter-attacks will be important.
Yeah, there was another change for the O's at half-time. Our second of the game as Jordan Brown came on to replace Max Sanders. A bit of a head-scratcher, that one, for me.
Yeah, that one I don't think was explained in the post-match, although I might be wrong, but yeah, look at it, you go, actually, Sanders probably counted himself unlucky, as early O'Neill does, to come off so early in the game. All right, 49th minute, quick counter-attack from Wigan. Saw them break forward. McManaman was played in on the right hand side. His shot was awful, well off target.
Yeah, in the 53rd minute, our third change came as Jaden Sweeney came on to replace Shaq Ford.
So, yeah, so subs galore happening early on. 56 minute, big chance for Wigan to take the lead as Jones again. See everything going through Jones. He put in a cross from our right. XO Charlie Kelman, who had just come on, glanced a header wide from close range. Kelman should have scored that. The ball from Jones completely takes Tom Jones out. Tom Jones hasn't got a clue where he is. Hasn't got a clue Kelman's behind him waiting for the ball. Kelman should bury that lucky there.
Yeah, very much so. Thank you, Charlie. Wigan took the lead, though, in the 73rd minute through substitute Jason Kerr as a short corner routine. Saw the ball put into our box from Smith, and the unmarked Kerr placed his header beyond Solbrin to make it 1-0. To the host. Now I have to say, I think our defending there and our awareness of who's around us is absolutely appalling there. I can't make out who the second player is, but Tom Jones is the first. Tom James, sorry, not Tom Jones. Freudian slip there. Tom Jones is the front man. I think Rob Hunt might have been the one behind him. But either way, that's poor defending. The guy's in the middle of our penalty box, unmarked, and has the time and space to head the ball past Solbrin. I think that's poor.
Good corner move. Heads it into the back of the net. Well, I thought Beckles. I thought it was Beckles and Hunt's man. When it goes in, Beckles and Hunt are looking at each other and doing the thing that I royally hate. And Beckles does a lot. Beckles is
finger pointing.
Beckles is pointing at Hunt and going, "Where are you?" And Hunt's looking back at him and pointing back, going, "Where are you?" So I don't know what happened. I don't know enough about who was supposed to be on these men, but no one was. And we got punished for it. I guess if you're a Wigan fan, you go, that's a great corner move. We scored out of it. If you're an Orient fan, like we are, we're sitting there going, what happened to our defending? But we had it all to do with 17 minutes left. 6 minutes later, Brandon Cooper went down in the Wigan box under a strong challenge from Hughes. No penalty given. That one isn't on the highlights, so no idea if that was actually a penalty or not.
Double substitution came in the 80th minute as Joe Piggott and Dan Adu Ajayi came on to replace Darren Prattley and Omar Beckles. I think Rich is really trying to get us back in this game now with two attacking players coming on, and unusual to take off Omar Beckles. I know he explains it in his post-match, but at the time, obviously, you look at that and think, well, that's a bit odd that he's taken Omar off.
Yeah, okay. 88 minute chance for the O's. As the previously mentioned, Joe Piggott had a shot from the edge of the box. Ball bounced up nicely in front of him. He took it on. Comfortably saved by Tickle. Was on target, but never really troubling the keeper, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, minimum 6 minutes went up on the board. In the fourth minute, Ruel did have the ball in the net, but unfortunately that was ruled out for offside.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't mentioned Ruel at all in this. That's the first time we've mentioned him.
Yeah.
As our centre forward, he's done nothing. Obviously, we don't mention everything that happens in the game.
Yeah.
But we mentioned key points. Zero. But hasn't done anything, which is disappointing. No further talking points, unfortunately. In this one, the referee blew up as the O's slipped to a narrow 1-0 loss at Wigan to leave the DW Stadium empty-handed. So I think we've alluded to Richie's post-match interview a couple of times. We're not going to play it because we've obviously already heard from Richie on this podcast, but that has been up on YouTube and the club's website for the last 24 hours. So if you want to go and listen to that, you can do. I think it's just over 5 minutes of Richie's thought on the game. But although we're not going to have Richie talking about the game, we are going to bring you another message from his coaching staff. And this time, it's friend of the podcast, the Ginger Palais. It's the one and only Matt Harold.
Core, 350 episodes of the Orient Outlook podcast, talking absolute football knowledge. Congratulations, guys. Good milestone to get to. Keep up the good work. Keep up the football knowledge. Don't be too negative. And keep it coming. Great stuff. Congrats, boys.
That's brilliant. That's the first time I've heard that.
When he said absolute, I was listening to this going, please don't say what I think you're going to say. And obviously he didn't, and that's part of the joke. So nice one,
he's Matt. Top. He's top, isn't he? He really is top. Matt, I was expecting a bit of a sing-song, actually, but that's absolutely grand. Thank you very much indeed. So that league table result leaves us in 10th now. We've dropped a spot. We've now played 37 games this season. We've won 15 of them. We have drawn 9 and lost 13. We've accumulated 54 points. And we've got a minus one goal difference.
So drop the place because Wigan, sorry, not Wigan, Lincoln. See it? Won 5-1.
At Barnsley.
Hammered them, scored some good goals. That's good goals two players from the Irish League. And these two players absolutely ripped Barnsley apart. They're doing well, one to watch. And they obviously got Taylor, who's at Colchester, on loan from Luton, on loan, who we were very vaguely linked with a couple of times. Who's like smashing it for him as well. They're doing well, Lincoln.
Made some good astute signings.
Still got to play them as well, so that'd be interesting when we go there. All right, before we bring you our views, we have another message. Obviously, we mentioned post-match interviews. Part of the Orient Live team who helped with that is Matt Hiscock, who's been great. We had him on the podcast once or twice giving his views. So here's a message from Matt Hiscock.
Paul, Steve, good evening. It's Matt Hiscock from the Orient Live commentary team. Hope you both well. Understand tonight is your 350th Orient Outlook podcast episode. So huge congratulations for that feat and wishing you well for the next 350. I make that one for every Bobby Fischer appearance in an Orient shirt. So there's something for you to throw into the show. Good luck, all the best and up the O's.
That's brilliant. Well done. I didn't know that.
Amazing stat.
Great stat. Thank you, Matt. Stats.
We should try and find out who's made 350 plus appearances now and drop them into the episode as and when. So if you have any statos out there, so Martin Strong, if you're listening, let us know who's gone above 350 and we'll put them in as we reach their episode number. So we've done the league table, we've done a match roundup for the 350th time, Mr. Levy, on an episode. Let's have your views on the game.
Yeah, well, it's always a shame to lose. I think it's fair to say that we gave it a good go. I think by and large, we were probably the better side until the sending off. A learning curve for Ethan, I think. It's his second double yellow card of the season. I'm still not sure some of the early subs or some of the subs that were made. I'm sure there were tactical reasons for them, you know, but in Richie I trust, so you know he knows and I trust and believe that was done for the right tactical reasons. Really short and sweet from me for 350, to be fair. You know, look, we're 10th in the league. What's not to be happy about? Could we be higher if we had different players? Who knows? It's one of those questions that you're just never going to know the answer to. But if I'd have said to you 9 months ago, I'll tell you what, mid-March, you'll be 10th in the league, few points off the playoffs, clear by a country mile, really, of any relegation dogfight, would you take that? I don't know any Orient fan who would have said, no, I don't think that's going to be right. So, look, you know, things can always be better, you know, but we are where we are, and things are going great for us, I think, at the moment. Yeah, I mean, obviously, we'd like to be higher and maybe even in the playoffs, but we're not, and we're comfortable and happy where we are for the first time back in 10 years in League One. I'm all good. I'm all happy with that.
Lovely stuff for you. Similar, I'd say. I mean, disappointing result, but the battle was there again. I don't think we really troubled their keeper for most of the match. I don't remember their keeper making any saves of note. I think I mentioned Satiri, who does nothing in the match, and obviously we played 55 minutes, give or take, with 10 men.
Mm.
But I guess disappointing in terms of what we produced. But, you know, I think it's mentioned the sending off changed the game, and there's loads of tweets that will allude to that. And it was what it was, clear sending off. I think if we're Wigan fans, we're calling for Galbraith to get sent off, as he should. So I can't really complain too much about that. I think in Richie's post-match, he made a great point about Wigan being elated at the full-time whistle, about how they were kind of time-wasting and keeping the ball and how much they celebrated by beating Orient, which you never would have thought would have happened at the beginning of the season. And I think depending on where you're coming from, there's a lot of half-full people out there. And there's a lot of half-empty glasses out there. There's people from probably like us who go, well, I said top 10 at the beginning of the season. We're not in any kind of relegation battle. Our front three, for all intents and purposes, have never played together in the same team, not once this season, as a collective.
You mean like with Graham and Archibald and Adji?
Yeah, and O'Neill now. I'm throwing that into the mix. We've never played our front chosen three together. We've never played our first starting 11 together at any point in the league. So to come in at 10th, you go, yeah, sure, it could have been higher. Who knows if that striker who they wanted to bring in, if he was at the club, would have made a big difference in January. Because that's what people were alluding to, that Richie wasn't backed when they were thinking about playoff push. And you go, okay, you may have a point or not have a point, but then football is what football is. It's a game of fine margins. Some games you win where you don't deserve to, and some you lose that you don't deserve to. But it's been a long season. Lots of injuries. I think fatigue's starting to show now. I think if we can maintain a top 10 finish, that would be a good first season in League One. We've come on leaps and bounds, played some amazing football, got a fairly young squad, which is really good. And the next season will be these players' second season.
Spot on.
In League One. Mm. O'Neill gets a full pre-season.
Mm-hmm.
Adji hopefully gets a full pre-season. Graham hopefully gets a full pre-season to come back. Remember, Jordan Graham didn't even play against like the 85th or 9th game. When I was sitting here particularly bemoaning how he wasn't ready or fit to play. So if we can hit the ground running, bring in some play. I mean, there's three, in my head, there's three big positions we need to cover in the summer. We'll come on to that, I guess, later on down the podcast. Obviously, Solbrin goes back to Middlesbrough. We're not signing Solbrin. Idris Elmazouni goes back to Ipswich in the summer. I don't think we're signing Idris Elmazouni.
Really?
I'd be surprised. And then we haven't had a number nine of any note this season available. I know we've got Adji, but Adji's been injured most of the season.
But when Piggott's
not done what we thought he would do. And there's obviously more cover needed as a second striker. So I think there's some big signs, but we can come on to that all along the way. But look, incredibly proud of the club this season. It does feel like that playoff dream, that faint playoff dream now, to me anyway, has ended. I know Nigel said he's still going for it. I can't see it now. You'd have to go and win your next nine, I think, or at least your next seven at a minimum out of the nine. I can't see that happening. Mm-hmm. But been a wonderful season nonetheless. Real togetherness, real spirit. Played some great football at times. I think Richie and his staff done an outstanding job. Fine margins, like you say.
I agree. No, I think you're absolutely spot on. I think it is fine margins. Had we have signed... But the thing is, it's all if, buts and maybes. If we'd have signed that player and it had turned out to be Joe Piggott 2.0, then it wouldn't have been, right? And that wouldn't have worked. So it's all if, buts and maybes. So those were our views. We had a huge amount of feedback after this. So thanks to everyone who sent their views into our social media accounts. And again, we read out as many as we can. And just because we're reading them, it doesn't mean that we agree with them. Ryan Peanut kicks off this week and says, totally gave up from the manager today. Subs were shocking, left the players on the pitch that weren't even fit for League Two. Mid-table finish can ask for more with that squad. Got 9 games now to try things and move on some dead weight in the squad.
Bit harsh though, Ryan. I'd like to know who you think isn't even fit for League 2 out of that squad. I'd say they're all at least League 2 level, if not higher. Patrick won flood, said the red card done us. Terrible subs. Unlucky Royale with his offside goal. And once they scored, that was it.
Orient Meat Pie said that was a poor game. Worked hard, but the sending off determined the game. Soft goal to concede as well. The subs didn't make sense and really gave us no chance. Oh well, at least we're staying up, but no chance of the playoffs.
TX Trev, so January window strikes again. The manager needs a centre forward and you served him up 2 kids. Nothing more to say. I think Edwards obviously didn't get on the pitch this time, so may have dropped down the pecking order following last week's performance against Bristol Rovers potentially.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I don't think he's settled in as quickly or as well as perhaps he would have or we would have liked. Ewan Carter, 25, said, I think the playoffs are done. It's not today's defeat. It's the Burton game, the Bristol game. We will probably win next week to stop Stevenage getting playoffs, but it's been a good season despite our injury situation and what we've had to deal with.
Yeah, good points there from Ewan. Rich BJC said, frustrating. Feels like the end of Orient's brief playoff pursuits, but proud of our little team. We turned around a really poor start to the season and made us all believe. Big up next season.
Yeah, Dan Alton 2590 said, happy we can finally stop this fantasy playoff talk. Something we're clearly not ready for anyway. Just enjoy the rest of the season. We finished top half. It's a brilliant year. All year back, all things considered. The game was decided by the red card. Richie's subs were a bit weird.
Les OK 52, so I wasn't there, so I can't comment. But I would say Galbraith is not a right back. He's our most skillful and creative player. So why in heaven's name would you play him in a position where he can never have much influence on the game, especially up against a tricky winger?
T-Mac Returns said, mental errors all round today. It wasn't meant to be, and more points wasted, it seems. Can't complain too much, but frustrating yet again whilst only seven behind the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, strange things have happened, but I just can't see it happening now in terms of the playoff push. But you never know. The occasional one said, send them kids back. You might as well put two rabbits on the pitch and turn the floodlights on. Pegram is better than the pair of them. That's an interesting point. I know we mentioned Pegram, obviously, before, but if you're going to play kids, you could do worse than Charlie Pegram. Obviously,
100%.
He's featured a couple of times. He was a sub on the first game pre-season, of the season,
yeah,
if you remember, and had a fantastic pre-season for us. So, it's
scored
fair point.
A few goals, yeah. Absolutely right. I would give Charlie Pegram a good opportunity rather than one of two kids from, all right, a Prem Academy, but on their first loan out of their parent club.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to sign Edwards and we're not going to sign Edu Ajay, permanently in the summer. So you're going to want to bring Pegram on, and maybe a few other of the youth players who are starting to crop up now every week in the pod. So yeah, it's a fair shout there.
Yeah, absolutely. Matty LOFC Evans said, going down to 10 killed the game for us. The substitutions were highly questionable for me. Next week's cup final for Stevenage and their fans will be a chance to put right today's poor display. Onwards and upwards.
Daniel _D44 said, controlled the game until a bit of stupid naivety from Galbraith. I didn't understand. There's a lot of people saying they didn't understand the subs, to be fair. We had no outlet and no one to hold the ball up. Looked like we were just waiting for Wigan, who were really poor, to score.
Ron Sampson 15 said, I love Richie, everyone knows, but we made some wrong decisions. O'Neill was a real threat to Wigan and shouldn't have been sacrificed. Ford should have, as he was already on a yellow. We shouldn't have played with everyone behind the ball, inviting pressure, and the ref was a disgrace.
Gary Talbot 7 said, reality check times, really. We have lost four vital players and replacements who have not been good enough, I'm afraid. Narrow loss is becoming the norm, and the playoffs now very unlikely.
PF010666 said, not getting a recognised striker in January has cost us any chance of getting in the playoffs. The two kids we got are exactly that. Nowhere near ready for league football. But the fact we're talking about the playoffs rather than relegation means it's been a good season.
Good point. Yeah. Jinx, probably jinx. AK Alwyn, 4676. To two very harsh, but not wholly wrong decisions for Galbraith's red card. Second best from in, thanks to our odd formation choice for the second half. We finally gave ourselves a platform in the 80th minute, but too late. I won't be too sad, though. It's been a solid first season back in League One.
1965 AC 1881 said, you win some, you lose some, that's life. It's been a fine season wherever they finish. Injuries have done us in the end. Expectations have been far too high recently. Get the injured players back and a few new signings and we could challenge next season.
Orient _Ed said, sending off changed the game completely. Bringing O'Neill off was a mistake in my opinion, and we still done okay. Thought Pratt done well, and Ole Miss was class as always. Shout out to Jaden Sweet, who I also thought did well when he came on. Great away atmosphere today as well. There was a few Wigan fans actually after the game who tweeted just saying, I thought Orient fans were spot on, and it seemed like a lot of Orient fans were saying it was a really good atmosphere. So well done again to everyone who was there singing their hearts out.
Absolutely. Stephen Orient said, we were dominating play, but Galbraith's poor discipline yet again lets him and the O's down. He's a talent, but his poor discipline is a concern. Our fans were magnificent today and sang throughout.
The untold games have felt like a really odd game. Two teams who know their season's done. Would have been nice to go for the playoffs, but with the excellent recruitment this year, I'd guess a 3-year plan to challenge. And with these young players, seems very doable.
Miller President said, I'd have bitten your hand off at the start of the season to be in the top half of the table, but to have a chance of the playoffs at one stage until injuries took their toll was beyond my expectations. The seasons of laying foundations with a young side.
Good point there.
Absolutely right.
Penultimate tweet goes to Sunshine LOFC. So if anyone has offered the O's League One security by the end of February, pretty much any O's fan would not only have taken it, but also ripped your arm off the person that was offering it.
That's right. Spot on, Joe. Hope the bus service that you put on was a good one. As is always. Final word this week, though, goes to James O'Hagan, who said, the dream is all but over. But you know what? Top 10 with a threadbare squad, injuries and suspensions is nothing to be ashamed of if we get it. Let's finish the season strong. Up the O's.
So lots of opinions and views just read out. Let us know if you agree or disagree with any of those. Those were all tweets that came into us at Orient Outlook. You can do the same and tweet us at Orient Outlook, funny enough. You can also email us at orientoutlook@outlook.com. You can also find us on Instagram at orient_outlook_podcast, or you can find us on Facebook at Orient Outlook Podcast.
Yeah, you most certainly can. The prediction league now, as we move on.
The Saltire
Orient
prediction league now, yes.
Need to update that, yeah, absolutely. There are no correct predictions for this match, meaning that the top of the prediction league stands as follows. Dave Brew, 4797-6911, is on 25 points. One behind him is Eastside Orient. Dan William H is on 23 points. Rio_Orient is on 22 points. And Paul Gregory is on 20 points. Really tight there at the top of that league.
Yeah, their full table can be found on Facebook. And there's plenty more points to play for before the end of the season. So moving on into today, Sunday, the 10th of March. Happy Mother's Day. Hope everyone's had a lovely day today. And also, Leighton Orient Women were scheduled to play Tooting Beck in a league match. However, Tooting is still in London's Capital Cup, which meant that the game was postponed. However, the rest of the league did play. And the results of the other teams were of great interest to the Orient ladies.
Yeah, league leaders Comets lost at home 2-0 to the bottom club from University College London. The UCL Academicals this afternoon, that's a major surprise. Very good news for the O's. Our ambitions for a third straight league title are now somewhat stronger. Second placed Richmond and Kew could only draw away at Hammersmith today. That was a 2-2 result. An excellent set of results for the O's. We're right back in the thick of it. Amazing what a couple of games can do.
Yeah, didn't even play. And good news. So thank you to www.lfcwomen.com for the update. Much appreciated. And we've got more messages left. First up from board member, we have Marshall Taylor. So here's a message from Marshall.
Marshall Taylor, board director at Orient here. Just wanted to congratulate both Paul and Steve on reaching such a milestone. 350 episodes of the pod is some shift. Also wanted to say congratulations and a thank you for all the work you do on social media, especially post-game. It's always really interesting reading all the fans' feedback, both positive and negative, straight after the game. So just wanted to say thanks for everything you guys do for the club. And here's to another 350 episodes. Congratulations, guys.
If we make it to another 350 episodes, we would be
50 mid-50s. Let's not put a number on it. Mid-50s.
Absolutely. But appreciate the message, Marshall. Great points as well about social media that don't really take into account. Obviously, we're in the habit of doing asking for views that we get. And we're so lucky to get the amount of views we do. Because I see other podcasts doing that at full time. And they don't get anywhere near the engagement that we get. It's never lost on us how lucky we are to have such a well-established community and a fan opinion coming to our doors.
Indeed. Thank you, Marshall. Appreciate your support throughout our time and your time with the club as well. So we're at 48 minutes now, so let's wrap this big bad boy monumental one up, and we will crack on with a fantasy football update. So we'll divert away from League One business to the Premier League now, and Josh Abrahams is top of the Orient Outlook podcast fantasy football. He's on 1,779 points. He is just ahead of Jamie Wellham, who's in second place on 1,776. There's just 3 points that separate the top two in our league. Monumental effort from you both there. Steve's in 274th place, and that is out of 355 players.
I think that's right. I think it's 374 players. I'm not sure what that says, 355, but I've had an absolute terrible couple of weeks, which continue to be terrible. But there you go. That's why I hate the Premier League and love League One. All right, let's do the positives and negatives of the week. So I'll do positives then. We've got three of each. First up, the away support and just the support in general.
Yeah,
it's been outstanding. Fantastic. I think it's going to be another loud evening at Brisbane Road this coming Tuesday. Second positive, mentioned it earlier, but no touchline ban for Richie. Amazing. Like I was saying last week's pod, thought he was going to get a 3 or 4 game ban. Turns out it's fine.
How we found a positive out of a negative situation blows my mind a bit.
It's the way we work. Yeah. And lastly, mentioned it earlier as well, but Theo, although out long term, the fact his operation has been a success is a massive positive. So now hopefully he gets back on the rehabilitation track. It's a long road back for him. Lots of foreign films for Richie to watch, for Theo to watch as he gets back. And like we said previously, we wish him all the best from us at Orient Outlook podcast towers.
Indeed, and if you follow Jordan Graham on Instagram, he's away somewhere warm at a specific rehabilitation place, and he looks like he's
looking
doing
good.
Very well. It looks like he was on a treadmill running for the first time in a while recently. So good for both of them, long-term injury people. So negatives fall to me this week. Obviously, the loss at Wigan, 1-0, is a negative. Ethan Galbraith sending off. Obviously, that impacted the aforementioned loss. And obviously, the general fatigue of the team. You know, they've taken a battering. We haven't got a big squad that you can afford to rotate all the time. So, yeah, it's impacted us negatively, unfortunately.
It certainly has. So, perfect balance there. Three negatives and three positives. So, time for the hero of the week. And maybe a bit left field, maybe a bit not. Obviously, the men's team didn't win. The youth team drew. And the ladies' team didn't play. So, we looked to see, right, who can we make heroes of the week. So it was unanimous at Orient Outlook podcast towers before we start this one. So our heroes of the week are, it's you listening. So thank you for listening to our 350th episode. Give yourselves a big round of applause and give yourselves an oi oi as loud as you can. Wake up the household or frighten a few people on public transport as you listen to this or walking down the street. Amazing. So next week's fixtures in. Two fixtures coming up.
We've got two. Big week this week. We've got Port Vale at home on Tuesday night. It's a rearranged fixture. They are not having a good time at the moment. They are 23rd in League One. They lost at home 2-1 to Shrewsbury. So it's a couple of good goals by Shrewsbury as well. Port Vale have drawn one and lost four of their last five. So clearly expectations for us will be to beat them and pick up 3 points on Tuesday night.
Good manager, Darren Moore, recently appointed on a five-year deal. I thought he'd go in and turn it around. He's not at all. He's having a real struggle there. So tough one on Tuesday. Then the O's off to Stevenage Saturday the 16th March. Fair to say it's the hottest ticket in town. We're already getting tweets for people asking for spare tickets on this one. Obviously the away end sold out. There's going to be no more tickets available. It's quite a small ground as it is, and there's going to be no more already getting people after tickets that one. So if you go in, well done to you for getting tickets for that one. Stevenage, as you all know, a 6 in League One, as we seem to get tweets about it every week about how well Stevenage is doing. I don't care about Stevenage, this is an Orient podcast. So they drew disappointingly 0-0 yesterday, home to Fleetwood, who I think starting to improve, but not the best for Stevenage. A bit of a mixed bag of form at the moment. And the last five, they've won 2, drawn 2, and lost 1. So it might be a good time to be playing them. So if you're going to Stevenage, have a safe journey. If you're going to Port Vale, if we see you, give us an oi oi, or come and say hello and celebrate our 350th podcast. On that note, we have one final message to play from a man who was pretty much there 10 years ago, and supported the podcast, is back at the club.
As CEO, as it was at the time.
Absolutely, he's done it all from media work to director work now. Always great when he comes on for interviews. So to finish our messages, we have Mr. Matt Porter.
Hi guys, it's Matt Porter here. Just a quick note to congratulate you on 350 episodes. Wow, what a great achievement. So much hard work and effort has gone into bringing all the news and conversation to Orient fans over the last few years. There's been some real highs and lows, and it's been great listening to it throughout that time. Congratulations again, and here's to the next 350.
Cheers, Matt. Thank you. And thanks for your support as well, because it was under him and Johnny Davis in the media team at the time who really looked outwards to the fan groups, to the podcasts that were at the time, including us, to engage with. So we really appreciate your support as well.
Great stuff. Right, so before we finish this one, don't forget we are sponsored by Carol Landley Florists. To get in touch with John and their fantastic team, you can give them a call on 0208 529 4130. You can get in contact also by social media, like we mentioned before, Carol Langley E4 or Essex Biz on Twitter. They're on Instagram at Carol Langley Florists, and you can find them on Facebook at, well, Carol Langley Florists.
You can indeed. So that is it. Thank you very much indeed for joining us for episode number 350. There was only one game for the O's this week that we unfortunately fell to a 1-0 defeat at Wigan, having gone down to 10 men. But there's no time to dwell on it, with games coming thick and fast this week. Two big games, which we'll be talking about in our next episode. Off the field, though, we've hit a landmark in this podcast, in case you didn't know. We never thought we'd reach as many episodes as we have today, so we are absolutely chuffed to bits. Well done. Well done to you.
Well done,
Mr. Nussbaum. Unbeknown to us at the time, though, when we started, we covered the darkest time in our history, and most recently, the most joyous times that we've had in our history, and in the process we've ended up creating a digital archive that future generations
like that.
Can listen back to and enjoy and relive what happened at any given time throughout the last, as it stands right now, 10 years.
Absolutely. Like, I think it's important to say that I mentioned it earlier, not that many League One podcasts, so I'm lucky enough to be in a League One podcast group that some other creator created, and I don't get anywhere near as many listens or engagements as what we do. So like me and Paul said, it's something we do not take for granted. We know there's people out there who are part of the 100% club who have listened to every episode, which is almost 400. Yes. Really, when you count the interviews.
Thank you
to everyone.
Thank you so much. It wouldn't be worth us doing this. But it's honestly, it's a lot of work, and you know, it's really appreciated, and it's not lost on us.
What I will say as well, when we put out a podcast on Sunday, you see the listens instantly go up and up and up. And through doing another podcast, which is a harder podcast to market, it's hard to get a lot of listens on podcasts these days because there's so many out there and there's so many different variations. So like Paul said, the listener figures we get, we are absolutely astounded by. And it's always amazing when people come and say to you that they've listened and they're big fans. And
it
seems to happen all the time. So yeah, from us on Outlook Podcast, we just say a massive thank you to everyone. Whether you've joined us from the beginning or whether you've just joined us from this season or whatever point, and like we've said, here's to many more podcasts and hopefully a promotion or two before we hang up our podcast hats.
Indeed. If you're listening on iTunes, please subscribe, go and do us a favour, give the podcast a rating. 5 stars would be great. If you're listening on Spotify, a reminder, you can rate the show. You can even leave a comment on each episode now, so please, if you get the chance, go and do that. And don't forget to follow us, add us to your favourites on your chosen podcast provider, and that way you'll get all the episodes as soon as they are available. We're also on all smart speakers, the Fan Hub app, and we're also on YouTube, so listening to the podcast has never been easier. If you've got an older relative or a loved one or an Orient chum who you think would like the podcast, grab their phone, download it for them, and pass the pod.
So we've had plenty of messages in this episode. So thanks to everyone who has sent us messages from wherever they've been. We've had messages from LA, from Chingford Flower Shops, from all over the gaff. So thanks to everyone for their messages. Thanks to everyone for their tweets, or upcoming tweets to help celebrate our 350th episode. Like we said, something that we do not take for granted at all. So that is it for 350. We'll be back with episode 351 next week with all the information and views that you could ever need. We look forward to hearing from you. And as always, keep calm, stay safe, have a great week, and listen to the Orient Outlook podcast.
Up the O's.
Song I wrote, you might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy.